in a church, any church, it should be relevant to what's going on in your life in some way. Not necessarily, you know, today or tomorrow, but it should be relevant for what's going on in your life. And we're going to start off with 1 Corinthians 10:13. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let me read the verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, I don't know if you noticed in the bulletin, but the title of the message is, When Life Gets Too Full. And there are times when we feel that life is just too much. Too many things are happening. Too many things are going on. This may sound familiar. Your phone rings before you're ready to get up in the morning. But you have to answer, and you look, and you'd forgotten to set the alarm, and you've overslept, and you're already late. And then you spill something as you're getting breakfast ready. It's going to take time to clean it up. Your phone rings again, and some salesman wants you to listen to his spiel because he's going to give you something free. Which, there is no such thing as a free lunch. And then, the clothes that you plan to wear don't seem to fit. In fact, you're afraid to put them on for fear you'll shoot somebody with a button. The dog gets sick in the living room carpet. You start to tie your shoes and the shoelace breaks. And you can't find your car keys. Does that sound familiar? Ever have a day like that? Now, some people would kick the dog, scream at the kids, slam the door so that it breaks the glass. Others would ask God, what have I done to deserve this? And then there would be the people who would just quietly bow their head, ask God to help them to do his will today. Then they would kick the dog and scream at the kids. Now, I can't speak for you, but lately it seems like there is more going on than I almost can stand. And I don't know if it has anything to do with our moving or that, but it just seems like life is getting so complex that we keep thinking it can't get worse, it can't get worse, and it does. There's a scripture that may be referring to this, and I'd like to share that with you this morning. It's in Luke 21. Jesus told his disciples about a time like this. Luke 21, verse 25 through 28. Let me just read that. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. We just happen to have had an eclipse. And in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's pray. Father, we tend to believe that we are in those days. We look around us, Father, and it is disconcerting. And Father, we are so glad that we have you to cling to. We are so glad that we know that no matter what happens, we know the outcome. But Father, it is of concern to us as we see those who are rebelling against thee, those who are trying to replace truth for a lie. And so, Father, as we look into your word this morning, may your Holy Spirit be what Jesus said he would be, the comforter. May he comfort us. May we have your assurance that your will is being done in our life. And Father, may we rest in that peace. And we will praise you for what you do in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I was in midlife, and many of you may have been in the same situation, I gave little thought to what it might be to retire. And then I thought, well, when we retire, things will slow down, and I can hunt, and I can fish, and I can, you know, sit on the front porch and rock. And folks, I haven't been able to hunt in the last 7 years. There's been too many other things going on. And I don't know if you notice, your life is getting that much more complex. There's doctors that weren't there before, but the doctors are giving us this life and the quality of life that we're enjoying. You know, life used to, 40 years old used to be old. And many people died in that age. Did you ever think that you'd be doing what you're doing right now? No, probably not. There are things that each of us should be thinking about with regards to God's plan for our lives. Life seems so diverse. Our country seems to be going to pot, and segments of our government want to do away with the Constitution, and they want to pass laws that are, Bobby was talking about it this morning, pass laws that are in violation of God's word. What should be our, as Christians, response to that? 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort thee, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It'll be hard to do that if religious worship is criminalized, and that's the direction they're moving in. We definitely need to be praying. Then we have to consider all of the false science that's being promoted: global warming, evolution, abortion is okay, is a normal thing. Does God address any of these things in his word? He does. Romans 1, 18 through 25. Let me read that for you. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This is Romans 1, 18 through 25, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This particular passage deals with what is going on around us today. The people who don't know Jesus as their Savior don't want to know what the Bible says about them. And this passage is one of them. The fact of the matter is that they are trying to pass legislation that would criminalize the proclaiming of the truth. And in many states, they have already done so. It's called hate speech. Even though it's what the Bible says, they consider it hate speech. Lesbianism and homosexuality are both repugnant perversions of God's intention for men and women. Yet these styles are waging war against us, the people of God. And in some cases, they seem to be gaining ground. This concerns me, and I'm sure it concerns you, that it should not be that way, that we do not have to condone that, that we don't have to tolerate that, yet it is being legalized. The fact is that a large part of these people who hate God are not able to understand or see the truth. A large part of these people are not able to understand or see the truth. And they lie even when it's not necessary to lie. When confronted with the truth, they just fabricate more lies. This is the way it is today, people. So our response is what God is concerned about. We should not get angry. I get concerned, and there are times, yes, I have gotten angry. Connie doesn't want to watch Fox anymore because of all the stuff that's going on, because it makes her angry, as it should. But God tells us that that should not be our response. And so this morning, I want to share with you some ideas that you might not be among us who get angry at situations, but we are supposed to pray for them. And sometimes that's hard to do. But that's what the Bible tells us. We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to love them because they are on their way to hell. And they don't realize it because most of them don't even believe in it. And yet that's where they are going. When they go, they will not take anything with them. Just as we will not take anything with us when we go to heaven. There's only one thing that any of us can take with us, and that will be the expectation to see the souls of those that we have led to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing anyone will take to heaven with them. Much of what's going on today is not new. talked in Sunday school this morning how you know, 3,500 years ago, some of the very same things that we read about in Proverbs were going on. Take abortion, for example. Say, oh, I don't see anything in the Bible about abortion. It was taught, it was practiced. What about the time of Moses in Egypt? What did Pharaoh tell the midwives they were to do? They were to kill all the little boy babies that were born to the Jews. That's how Moses escaped. He escaped from that. So it's not new. It bothers me that a whale is worth more than a baby. And that the penalty for hunting out of season is sometimes more severe than taking the life of a newborn child. And then the difference between what they did in Egypt at the time of Moses and what the state of New York and Virginia have done today. It's exactly the same people. Exactly. So it's not new. It's just repugnant, repulsive. But it's no different. That was 3,500 years ago. Remember Solomon saying there's nothing new under the sun? Well, when we talk about homosexuality and the impact that it has on our society, I remember a couple towns in the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah. Same thing. But what happened to them? God found it so repugnant that he destroyed them. And that's what we can look for if we don't have influence to change what's going on. Do you think the epidemic of lying is new? I can't believe all the lying that's going on in our government. I can't believe all the lying that's going on in our society. People will lie to you when it's easier to tell the truth. They'll think up a lie and tell you. I shared one time, probably 2 or 3 years ago, about the fact that I needed a part for a vehicle we had down in South Texas. Now, we were at least 25 miles from town. And then the next town was probably another 25 miles. And I needed a part. I called up a parts store and I said, do you have that part? And he said, oh, yes, we've got that. You come on down, pick it up. So I got there and no, they didn't have it. And I said, well, can you call one of your other stores? Yes, the next town over. They called them. They said, oh, yes, we got that part. So I drove to the next town. They didn't have it either. And they called another store in another town and I drove another, I don't remember how many miles. Before I was all done, I had driven 150 miles and I never got the part. They were lying. They were simply telling me what I wanted to hear. And people were being told that. What they think we want to, that we want to hear. That is just the way man is. Don't be surprised. God didn't make us that way, but lying has been going on since the very second generation. What did Cain tell God when God went to him about where his brother was? Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. So you see, it's nothing new. It's not new. Jesus talked about it, and we must look at all these things that are going on around us, we must look at them from a biblical perspective. And from a biblical perspective, if we go to John 8, verses 42 through 45, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 42 through 45, let me read that to you. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he was, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So people, when you hear people lying, when you hear the people in our society all around you, when you hear it in the government, lie after lie after lie, you're listening to the devil's people. They belong to him. They do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are to be honest. That's why a Christian should speak the truth. If a person loves Jesus, they would want to be with people who love Jesus. But many of the people that say they love Jesus don't associate with those who do. Look around. What do they call this area we live in? The holy city? My, it's anything but holy. Where are all the people that should be associating with brothers and sisters in Christ? Why don't they do that? Because perhaps they're not really brothers and sisters in Christ. I fear that there are a lot of folks who say that they are born again or saved who do not know God as their Father. They still belong to the devil. Is there any difference today than there was 2,000 years ago when Jesus spoke these words? Not really. Men are just as corrupt today as they were in Jesus' time. Men who couldn't change things then, and men can't change things now. God has to be the one to change, and it has to change in the heart. That's why we're here this morning, because we've had a change of heart. We're no longer living, we live in the world, but we don't live of the world. We are separated. We are sanctified. We are set apart. And so, folks, we have a job to do. And the job is we need to share the Lord Jesus Christ and the principles of God's word with everybody around us, because things are just getting worse and worse and worse. We do have a job to do. Each one of you do. We follow the Word of God. And because we follow the Word of God, we have in our hearts a peace that passes understanding. And that's what this whole world is looking for. They're looking for peace. But they can't find it. And they won't find it anywhere but in Jesus. But they're looking for it. I know that for some of you, not most of you, life seems busier and busier and busier. It does to me. The older we get, the busier we get. When we were younger, we didn't have all the doctors that helped prolong our lives. Those doctors are the reason that we are living longer. I heard one of our members say that if he'd have had his heart attack 5 years before, he wouldn't have survived, because doctors had come that far. And this surgery that we're anticipating with Connie, we know that years ago it was a major, major surgery, and it 4.5 hours couldn't be done. Lasted all day. But there, God has permitted us to improve, to learn things scientifically, medically. And it's God who's permitting that. So we should be thankful for what he's doing in all of our lives and not be condemning the society around us, because God is helping them to be more proficient, more experienced. God has permitted man to gain knowledge to improve your and my life. That's not an accident. So, you think your life is getting fuller? It is. Let's think about that. What's it getting fuller of? Are you being distracted by our enemy, the devil? Is it his things that are filling up our life? I guess the bottom line is, who are you serving with your time? Who are you serving with your time? Is it God or is it the devil? Are you involved in the world with your time, or is it not yours? And I have just made a misstatement. And I will share that with you, because most of us think about this from the standpoint of my time. What am I going to do with my time? And as we sit here this morning, it is not our time. It is God's time. And he gives it to us. He measures it out. And if we realize that it is his time and not ours, we might want to use it a little differently. As I was thinking about this and the misstatement of saying our time, my time, and I realized that, yes, it's really God's time. What are each of us doing about building the kingdom of God with the time that he gives? Let me give you an example. Some of you are still working. Some of you have worked your life and put your work in, and you're now on what we call retirement, which means you're busier and you know what to do with. But you worked. You earned an income. You earned money. And God has said in his word, and I mentioned it last week, that part of that money that you get belongs to him. We call it a tithe. And he gets it one way or the other. But when you get ready to spend time, do you think of that as God's gift to you? And so when you spend it, are you spending God's time in a way that he might not want you to do? Now, I'm associated with this church. And this church has a certain income. You people provide it. When I go out to make an expenditure for the church, I'm very much aware of the fact that I am not spending my money. I'm spending God's money. And so I want to make sure that I spend it the right way. I wouldn't purchase through the church a recliner for my office, okay? And you wouldn't want me to. Some of you might get unhappy with me if I did that, wouldn't you? I think you might when you think about it. When I spend time, it's not my time either. It's God's time. And so I need to be careful of how I do that. And the example that I'm giving you right now is also an example that might apply to you. Because what you have in a way of funds, material things, were given you by God, and they belong to Him. And so we all need to be prudent about how we use these things, how we make expenditures when we realize that they really belong to God. Are we building a kingdom of God, or are we building our lives? That's a pretty sobering question. How are you spending your life? The time that God has allotted to you, the material things that God has allotted to you, are they being invested for the kingdom, His kingdom? Because one day Jesus is coming back. And part of the signs of the time when He's coming back is when lying becomes so rampant, when bad conduct becomes so bad, so rampant, when there is such immorality. And today, people, we don't have to look very far to find it. It's going on. It's happening. I expect Him to come back in my lifetime. So did Paul. If He doesn't come back, it is going to make a difference of how I spend my time. And it's going to make a difference as how you spend your time. Think about it. God is giving you a measured amount of time for you to spend. How are you spending it? Determining the purpose for which you do a thing determines motive. And the motive for our lives is very important this morning. God expects us to have a motive that involves Him and not necessarily us. Many people seem to find that they don't seem to have time to be involved in church. They're busy working towards promotion and success in their vocation. They're busy with raising their families. They don't have time for church. They don't realize that they're missing the most important part of life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they are involved with Jesus Christ, they will be involved in a church. You cannot be involved with Jesus Christ and not be involved in a church. Many times, because people express the word that they are Christian, that they are born again, that they belong to Jesus, but their children see differently. And because of that, their children don't want what mom and dad have. And so they go into life lost. And they stay that way. So folks, we need to be doing a lot of witnessing. And part of that witnessing will be our testimony. How are we living our life? People in general have lost their way because they don't seem to have time to even stop and meditate about the things of God. I used to, when I lived on a farm and I was growing up, I used to think about God. I used to think about things. I wasn't saved yet. place to think about these things. Have you had any lately had enough time to sit down and think about God and what he means to you and what he would have you to do? Because that's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to read the word. We are supposed to meditate upon it. We are supposed to think about it. So the picture is of a cow chewing its cud over and over and over. Think about the word of God, what it really says to you, what it really means to you. We need, all of us, to take the time to reestablish our priorities in life. This week was a real lesson for me. We haven't moved in 15 years because every time to move, I just put a key in the ignition, turn it on, and drive to wherever I need to go. Don't have to move anything. This week, we were trying to move what we needed to the new apartment. And you know, a lot of things, that stuff that we have, we don't need. We think we do at times, but we don't. God has given us such abundance. He's given you such abundance. And he gave it to you to use. Yes, for you, but also for his kingdom. Paul said, you know, talking about Jesus, he must increase. That was John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that is the story for each of our lives today. For each of our lives this morning. We must decrease. He must increase. We have not been effectively reaching the people around us. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? It means that I need to be inviting more people to church. I need to be witnessing to more people when I meet them. It may mean the same thing for you. It may mean something different for you. But until you take the time to stop and meditate, to think about it, to talk it over with the Lord, it's not going to happen. And you might be wasting part of your time that the Lord has given you. I don't think any of us would be comfortable going to the bank, cashing a check, bringing it home, and flushing it down the toilet. Yet, sometimes that's what we do with our time. So time is something that God has given us. We have just so much of it. A day will come when you and I will not have any more time. Just like the film we showed back in June about the guy sitting down at the piano and playing, we're going to die. But in the meantime, let's invest our time for God. Let's make it count. And maybe all the stuff that's going on around us will not have the significance or the importance that it has to us right now. We need to be brutally honest with ourselves about how we're using our time. Is the error in being brutally honest? No. I don't know if some of us can actually do that. That's not the error. The error is the way we end the sentence when we consider it our time. Because, people, it is not. It all belongs to God. It's his time. That's what you and I are spending. Let's pray. Father, we don't know what you have in mind for us. We don't know how you want to use us, but we do know from your word that everything we have, including our time, belongs to you. So, Father, help us to use the time you give us well. May we not waste it. May we not frivolously use it. But God, may we be mindful of your kingdom and the job you have given us to do to rebuild that kingdom. And Father, may the things we do be toward that end. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time this morning where we could assemble together, where we can read your word, where we can see what we need to do. Now, Father, give us the courage to do it and the skill and the ability to do it well. And, Father, we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.